It said that today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Isn't that good?
Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Get it?
Everybody got it?
All right. I'll make sure. People process things differently. It's very powerful. Today is the present. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. I thought that was good. All right. You see the title on the screen today, Broken and Need of Repair. Does that feel like you today? Need some repair work done? Oil change, maybe. Battery charge. Brakes are squeaking. What do you need done today? God has what you need. He is the garage of all garages. His repairs are guaranteed. You know, they say they have lifetime brake pads, right? Y'all had those put on, right? Really? Have you ever had any brake pads over a lifetime? I haven't. Lifetime brake pads, 3 years later, 2 years later, and I'm about to get new. Yeah, really? Lifetime? Well, God's brake pads are lifetime. You know, his repair work is guaranteed, and it's good, and he has what you need. And I want each of you to know that we're all in the same position, really. You're not alone in what you're battling. Some of you are battling things in your mind, or maybe your home, or maybe you're battling fears, Rodney was talking about this morning. Maybe you're battling anxiety where you can't sleep at night. Maybe you're battling depression and discouragement. Maybe you're battling tripping in the sanctuary, knowing how to walk inside a church. Whatever you're battling. Miss Congeniality moment there. Each of us have a battle, and we're not alone in that. And just because we're saved and we're a Christian and we're supposed to be this holy believer and spirit-filled and shouting hallelujah all day long means that we should just have it all together, and we don't have it all together. Each one of us are broken our own way. And we're going to talk about that this morning, Isaiah, how that Jesus came to help us, to heal us, to fix us. The major problem we had, we all were born with a disease called sin. It was a disease that intoxicated mankind. And Jesus came to heal us of that sin, remove that out of our lives so that we could see him and live in eternity, like once again Rodney was saying. What are you worried about when you got the kingdom of God waiting on you? What are you worried about? You know, it doesn't matter to me if Ukraine blows Russia up or Russia blows Ukraine up. I'm with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm with Jesus. Now, I know it's we got to live in this life, and I know that we have storms that we have to face and battle every day, but our eyes should be on what is yet to come, on who we really are going to become. We have a destiny that we've not yet fulfilled completely, but we will fulfill it. That's why Jesus came. So let's start in some scripture, Isaiah 61. We'll go read 1 through 3. Now, this is a prophecy, as you will see here in a minute. Once again, it'll be fulfilled in Luke. This is the prophet prophesying of the Messiah, of Jesus, which is hundreds of years, 600 to 700 years before Jesus came. The prophet prophesied this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those that are captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's pretty good news, isn't it? That's some good scripture. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up those that are bound, to give our heaviness a garment of praise. He came to lift off the burden that we're born with, the burden of sin, the burden of fear, the burden of bondage, the burden of darkness. God came to deliver us of that and to set us free. This was Jesus being prophesied by the prophet Isaiah that he was to come. Now, I want to go back over and recap a couple points. Verse 1 says he has anointed me to preach the good tidings. Number 1, preach good tidings. What's the good news? We hear the gospel, the good news. The good news is not a bunch of rules and regulations and stuff we can't do. That's not very good news. Just like your kids, right? Your kids don't want to be told all they can't do. They won't be told what they can do. And so the good news isn't a bunch of putting us in a box and putting us under condemnation. That's not good news. The good news is this, that you were born in sin, But Jesus came to forgive that sin and redeem you and restore you. The good news is that your past is truly your past. Your mind may not let that go, and your people around you may not let that go, and your spirit may not let that go, but God's let that go. The Bible says that he will remember our iniquities no more. Either he does or he don't. Which one is it? He will remember our iniquities no more. He will cast them as far as the east is from the west. That's the good news. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, no matter all the stuff and junk I've let happen in my life, you know what? God's forgiven me because I asked him to. And my faith in that is enough. Here's the miracle of grace, church. Here's the miracle of grace. And there's folks that disagree with me on this, and I just don't care. Because I'm telling you, when you know truth, it sets you free. Grace has nothing to do with what you do. Nothing to do with any works you could try to add on to it. It's not, God forgive me, but. There are no buts after God's grace. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. See, God knew men would boast about all the things they did. Look what I've done. I gave this much to church, and I'm married 3 times a week, and I got 3 golden stars for being in Sunday school, memorizing all my verses, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I fast. You fast? And we go tell everybody how much you fast. Yeah, we tell you fast. You look like you're starving. We know you're fasting because you got this long face like you're just miserable. You tell the whole world you're fasting, proclaiming your works. Guess what? Like I said before, all your fasting, all your gold stars, all that makes you no holier than me. Because holiness is not attached to what I do. Holiness is only attached to Christ in me. My faith in Jesus makes me holy. Now, people don't like that because what takes up? Look, you get to heaven your way, I'll get to heaven my way. Let's just say that. And my way is following Jesus. My way is placing my faith in Christ. That's how I get to heaven. That's how I see the Lord, is my faith is put in him wholly and completely. So the good news is, you don't have to ever die and go to hell. Isn't that good news? I mean, you don't ever go to hell. I mean, think about that. Hell won't have you if you're in Christ. So you've escaped that punishment. You've escaped that judgment. Here's some other good news that you don't hear about a lot. You can know you're saved now. You ain't got to wait till later to figure it out. Did I make it or not? How many of us have that mentality? You know, we live our whole lives wondering, are we going to make it or not? The good news is, Jesus says, you're going to make it. Because I came to remove your transgressions. He says, I became sin that you, Bruce Hedrick, could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Bruce is righteous because God took his sin and took it out of the way. And Bruce placed his faith in that Jesus did that for me. He did it for me. Just like the song he sung, he searched the whole world over. And he'd do it again. I believe that. He would do it again to find you, to search and find you and your heart and reach out to you and show you mercy. So he proclaimed the good news. The good news, Jesus came to say, you can be free forevermore because I am the life. Any man that believeth in me shall never perish but have everlasting life. That's pretty good news. Good news is not condemnation and judgment. Good news is not hellfire and brimstone. Good news is not you're unworthy and you're a worthless worm and you better pray to God by the skin of your teeth you make in the pearly gates, you old heathen. Sound, I can't, you know, I'm not a cusser, so I got a you old heathen. We'll just leave it at that. That's not good news. I mean, man, people will pull you so down and try to put you in some kind of religious box. How can we have any freedom if we don't know that our sins have truly been forgiven? I mean, really forgiven. Isn't it great when you have a fight with your spouse or something, and not that part, but when you go back and you talk it out and, forgive me, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Don't that like, they came and apologized. They actually said they were wrong. Has that ever happened to y'all? It happened to me twice in 22 years. Sorry, James, I was wrong. That's a good feeling to know, wow, they admitted they were wrong and forgive me, and wow, that's awesome. To know that's behind you. The devil haunts us with our past, and he haunts us with our present. He haunts us with our future continually. But the good news is, if you are in Christ, your future is endless and eternal. The good news is, your past can't keep you down, and your future is going to be assured because of what Jesus did. So that's the good news. That's what the gospel is. You are forgiven. You are free. Jesus loves you. And is not, and here's something else. God is holding nothing against you. Somebody talked to me a few weeks ago was saying, I think God's mad at me. It's why all this is happening. I said, God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. God loves you. God is for you. God's not mad at you. Now, do I believe that we reap seeds we sow? Of course we do. I mean, if I go and slap Tiffany in the face, guess what's going to happen? That's exactly right. Because you reap what you sow. I mean, that's just a principle of life. It just happens. But God's not mad at you. God's not up there at old Melanie. Boy, I'm going to show her. She's being a jerk to me and not praying like she should, not reading her Bible. And, you know, she's being disrespectful to her husband. You watch. I'll get old Melanie. I'm on a throne and I'm mad. Fire's going to come out of my eyes. Laser beams at Melanie. God's not mad at you. If God was mad at you, he wouldn't have died for you. Because Melanie was an old heathen when he died for her. Still acts like one. I'm playing. She's an old heathen. You know why? Because he died before she's born. And she was born into sin. Not mad at us. So the good news is he's not mad at you. He's not against you. He's for you. The Bible says if God be for you, who can be against you? So God is on your side and God wants all the blessings to be in your life that he has for you. We just got to trust him and follow him and believe him. Second point he makes here. He says that he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. A lot of broken hearts in our generation. Broken marriages, broken families, broken lives. We see drug addiction like never before in our country. Broken homes, divorce like never before in our country. We're seeing a total culture shift in our nation like never before of brokenness. Young men and young women, I'm talking about teenage boys and girls, don't even know what they're supposed to be anymore. Don't know their gender. Don't know what they like. Don't know who they're supposed to become. Sad. Don't know who they even are anymore. And we're seeing this brokenness like never before. And Jesus came to heal that, to let us know, yeah, who we are. Here's who you are. I can heal that pain. I can cause you to know who you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to walk like if you'll let me. A lot of things cause our brokenness. Death. Lost of loved ones. Divorce. Loss of a job. Rebellious child. Sickness and disease in our bodies or someone we love. Can break us. You know, me and Melanie through the years, and like you all have shared many grieving moments with people throughout our lifetime. You know, this piano right here, if you don't know, I don't know if Tiffany knows this or not, you may know this. This piano was Alexis Mullen's piano. And little Alexis died when she was 10 years old, 9 years old. And she would be what, Christian's age now, right? She'd be 20. She'd be 20 if she was living today. She died at 9 years old. That's her piano. You know, her parents went through raising her and knowing without a miracle she's going to die. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. Couldn't fix it. Couldn't cure it. And this piano that Bruce plays on was that little girl's piano. Did I ever tell you that story? Yeah, you knew that. And they wanted us to have it in the church. They wanted this piano to be here. And that meant a lot to me. Mentally, they wanted it here. You're talking about a broken heart. How do you bury your 9-year-old? You know? A broken heart. You bury your 8-month-old. You know, you bury your wife. You bury your husband. You know, how does that affect you? It affects you deeply. And if we're not careful, those hurts can turn into anger. And that anger, bitterness. That bitterness, rebellion. And Jesus came to say, you know what? I know what you are going through. I know your hurts. I know your pain. I know what you experienced. I was there with you. I didn't leave you during that. You might not have seen me or felt me, but I was there. When Alexis passed away, arms of God was there. You know, whenever I went into the room to see Shannon's little girl that died, and a lot of you don't know who Shannon is. She's been here a few times. She had a little girl with cancer, Aaliyah. I walked in Baptist Hospital that night, and she's holding her 3-year-old. Four. Three, I believe. her three-year-old in her arms, dead. She's holding her dead in her arms. As a pastor, I've never walked into the situation before. Never. That was a first for me. It took me back. I didn't expect to walk into a room and see her holding her arms like this, rocking her three-year-old daughter. Brokenness. You're talking about some deep hurt. There's things this world just can't fix that. That takes the hand of God to fix that. That takes something bigger than us to come into our hearts and to bind that up and to heal us. You know, how many of us have made this statement, man, if that was my child, or if I could never get through it, I'd lose it. Heard my mom say that. So if something happened to you or one of the kids, I don't think I'd go on. I think I'd lose it. But we'd be surprised how we'd go on with the strength of God, can't we? How God would step in somehow and help us. Jesus came to heal that broken heart, that we don't have to carry it no more, not one more day, to help us and to heal it. And broken hearts come from many avenues that can't be explained sometimes. Sometimes, you know, maybe our own spouse don't know what we're battling, what we're going through, but we're broken. We're so broken. And we don't see no remedy. We don't see no way out. Jesus can fix that for you. Because we serve a living God that lives inside of us. We don't serve some statue we bow down to. We don't serve some creed or theology that's way in the distance. But we can touch the very presence of our God. And He's in us. And He's there just to whisper to us and to comfort us. And we can just feel Him talking to us if we'll take time to listen. So Jesus came to preach the good news, you're forgiven. He came to heal the brokenhearted, those who are carrying such pain and grief. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Man, you ever feel bound by your life sometimes? Just bound by it. You feel like you're chained to things that you can't get free from. You're chained. You feel like there's no escape. You're locked up. Jesus came to set you free from that. That you can get out of that prison that you made for yourself, or that the devil's brought into your life, or that you've let other people build for you. You got to be careful of other people's voices. I'm going to tell you, if people around you aren't building you up, get away from them. If they're always putting you down, you don't need to be with them. I don't care who they are. You need to surround yourself with people that are for you, and that you are encouraging one another. People that put other people down, if I can be honest, it's because you got your own inferior complexes. And you got to feel like you're big and bad and in control. I see it all the time, especially with men and women, with men being controlling over women. Telling them this and telling them that and telling them that and telling them that. You know, no. You need to be encouraging your spouses, loving them, commenting them. I still flirt with Melanie. For 22 years, I still flirt with her. Not all the time. But there's times I flirt with her. There's times she flirts with me. There's times I flirt with other women. But you know what? Two-way street. Encourage one another. I mean, we can all of a sudden find ourselves and we don't realize how we even got there. I know. How did I get here? What did I allow my life to build bar after bar after bar that kept me in here? And now I feel like I can't get out. But we can get out because Jesus came with the key to let us out. He has access to every door we've locked around ourselves to open it up and say, come on out. You don't have to stay there one more day. You don't have to stay there one more moment. You don't have to be in that mindset another hour. Let me free you of that. It doesn't matter you've always been a convict. You can be free today. I mean, you can walk out free from the prison you've let yourself surround you with. And it could be wrong teaching, wrong people, wrong voices, wrong influences. Don't listen to those. Listen to the voice of God and those that are for you. The Bible says that we are to encourage one another, to build each other up in the faith, lift each other up. Nobody needs to be told how fat they are, right? We know we're fat. Nobody needs to say, what happened to your hair? I don't know. What happened to your wife? I mean, really? We don't need to be told that. We don't need to be told what a loser we are. We know that sometimes we mess up. We don't need to be reminded of all of our mistakes. We know we make mistakes. I mean, with my children, I know when you're raising kids, you're hard on them. You should be, because you're training them for adulthood. And sometimes we find ourselves, being so hard that we forget they're people. And they've got their own mind and decisions, and they're not going to be cookie cutters of their parents all the time. And they don't want to always be told those, they're probably thinking, do I do anything right? Because all I hear is no, 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 no. Do this, do that, do that, do that. No, 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 no. Do this, do that, do that. Do I ever do anything right? No. Right? And we got to be careful of that sometimes. Because that can build. And maybe as an adult, you're an adult now and you grew up in that environment. You grew up with a parent who's abusive, or an absent father, absent mother. You grew up with a lot of pain or negativity in your life, and it's formed this, and now you don't let anybody in. You have this wall that you put in place and don't let anybody in because you're afraid of trusting anymore. But you can't trust anybody. You can trust Jesus. He will never fail you. Look, I know I fail people as a pastor, as a friend, as a husband, as a father. I failed. I failed many times. I've not been the husband I should be in, the father I should be, the preacher. I know I failed. That's why I'm always telling y'all, don't put no faith in me. Good gosh, man, you're desperate you're doing that. You ain't got to laugh about it. Put your faith in God, because He never fails you. He will never fail you. Because just like anyone else, I'm based on emotion. You can make me mad. You can hurt my feelings. I can cry. Some of y'all made me cry before. Some of you made me and Melanie have conversations that went in the middle of the night. She's like, okay, James, let it go. Get over it. Let's talk about something else. I'm sick of hearing about it. But God don't fail you. He came to set you free. Let Him set you free. Let Him set you free. And it's kind of like the elephant. You've heard me talk about the story of the elephant in the circus. How they train elephants. You know how they train elephant? They chain him. So he stays in place. Then after so long, after he's chained, they take the chains off of him. He still don't move. He still thinks he's chained. That's how they train him. So they can leave him loose, but they don't leave their area because they're in their mindset, I can't cross that area. Like the dog collar right in the fence. It learns where to go. I can't go past this point. I can chase this car to this point. If I go past that point, I'm in trouble. And you know what? You can deactivate that fence, and they still won't go past that point. Because they'll know. Every time I go there, I get shocked. We've let ourselves be in prison whenever God's come to set us free. Why are you staying somewhere that you're not, you don't have to stay no more? You're free. You're free. You're free to be what God has called you to be. Then he goes on to say that you are, he came to set at liberty them that are captive, and the opening of the prison, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I've come, he's saying. I've come. What did the Bible say? Today is a day of salvation. I've come to proclaim. I'm here. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Redeemer. I am Lord. I am God. I've come to establish my kingdom. He said, Jesus said in one place, he says, repent. That was his first message, I believe. He started preaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm letting you know I'm here, and I'm the king of this kingdom. And it's here, and I've come to establish it. I've come to proclaim who I am and what I'm all about. Then he goes on to say, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. You know, in the Old Testament, when men, I guess women too, but you read about it with the men in the Bible, when they would fast or mourn, they would put on sackcloth. And they would fast. They were in mourning. But then when the fasting and the mourning period was over, they would take the sackcloth off, get dressed back up in their nice clothes, wash their face, get all cleaned up, perk back up, and go back out and be who they're supposed to be. But for that moment of grieving, they're in sackcloth. They're in ashes. You feel like your life has turned to ashes. There's just nothing to show for where you are right now. You don't know where to go from this moment on. You don't know if it's ever going to change. You just, all you see is a pile of ashes. Your life's just meaningless, maybe, or purposeless, or where do I go from here? I'm tired of being in this grieving period, this mourning period. I'm tired of being, I'm ready for my ashes to turn to beauty again. I want my joy back. I want my peace back. I want my strength back. I want my hope back. Man, remember when we had such hope, and man, we were on fire and on cloud nine and just believed God for anything, and we had a smile on our face and a spring in our step, and we've lost that. We've lost that because of our world, this generation. We've let that come in and rob us and drain us. And man, the messages are so strong and they're so multiplied out there of all the stuff we're hearing. I mean, cultural shift completely we're in right now. America's in a completely transforming stage. Transforming, even since I was 18. I mean, it's a whole different world. Our children, our youth, is exposed to messages that to them are normal, and to us as parents are like, are you kidding me? Freaks us out. To them, it's normal. Ashes for beauty. We were in sin. Church, we were lost with no hope. No hope to be found until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, He says, I'm going to restore your ashes and make you beautiful again. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So no matter what you see when you look in the mirror, remember that verse. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made because God made me. God formed everything about me. God gave me my voice. God gave me my emotions, my personality, my nature. God gave me this beautiful hairline you see before you. Stupid Adam. God gave me. I still think, of course, it's not quite the same how Eve affected women, you know, with different things. I always think Adam affected baldness. Everybody ain't bald. So I can't use that excuse unless I'm still in sin. I can't use that excuse. But God made us and God created us for His purpose. See yourself, church, as God sees you. Don't see yourself. Here's what we got to get away from. We've let other people tell us how God sees us. We ain't heard it from Him Himself. Don't let other people tell you how God sees you. You see how God sees you for yourself. Because there's people that tell you all the stuff you got to do to change and be different for God. No, God don't see you as beautiful. You're just an old worm in the flesh, an old sinner, and you ain't done it. No. I'm His creation. I'm His masterpiece. I'm the finest artwork in the gallery, the human race. I'm more special to Him than the robins that chirp in the mornings, the trees that sway at night, the stars that shine. I'm more special than all those things. We're His creation. See yourself as God sees you. Beautiful. Don't define if you're beautiful by what a guy says to you or a girl says to you or what a parent says to you. See yourself as God sees you. Trade your ashes in for beauty. Then he goes on to say, a garment of praise for your heaviness. You ever feel heavy? Heavy. Weighted down by the world. Weighted down by just junk. Weighted down by the pressures of life. You're weighted down. There's no good feeling about being weighted down. You just feel chained. You feel heavy. It's like if they put a block around your ankle and throw you in the water. You just sink. You're heavy. God can I put a garment of praise back on you again. I ain't got to be heavy no more. I ain't got to carry my sin, my burden, my pain no more. God's healed me. See, God makes us whole. He doesn't work in part. He works in full. And see, when God saved me, when God came in my life, church, and I gave my heart to Him, I got all of what He had for me. All of what He had. Not part of it. I didn't get part of God. I got all of God. I got all the joy I'd ever need, all the peace I'd ever need, all the strength I'd ever need, all the wisdom I'd ever need. I got that from Him because He lives in me. Now, I fail to operate in that many times. I forget that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I forget that he says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. I forget those things sometimes. And I start carrying all that weight myself, trying to be Mr. Tough, Mr. Bad, Mr. Man, Mr. Independent. That's something else that we see in our generation. We've lost the dependency upon other people, that we try to be so independent that we've forgotten how to be dependent. See, I need my wife. And I think she needs me, I hope. But I need my wife. I still need my parents in my life. I don't need mom to put a band-aid on my knee. I don't need her to give me a cookie when it thunderstorms anymore. She can still make me some, but I don't need it for a storm. You know, I don't need to ask permission if I can go somewhere. I don't need her to buy me school clothes. But you know what I do? I need her in my life to be the anchor and the strength and the unconditional love that I can get nowhere else. That when Melanie's yakking at me, I can call mom and she'll bless your heart. It's okay, babe. Yeah. No, we need that. Nothing like a mom or dad, is there? I mean, it's just, it's unconditional. Mom ain't going to divorce me. Melanie either. She ain't working. Mom ain't going to divorce me. So I still need her. It's okay to need people. You know, people tell me all the time, I don't need to go to church. I don't need. No, what you want, you don't want to submit yourself and surrender yourself and be honest. Yes. You know what the Bible says? The Bible is clear. To submit your, in Hebrews, submit yourselves to those who have authority over you. Submit yourselves. You submit to teaching all your lives, to your parents, to your school teachers, to your work, your bosses at work. It just keeps growing. You submit to that authority. You may not agree a cop pulls you over, but you better submit to his authority. Or you're going face down the hood with hands behind your back. You better submit. We've lost that dependency. I need Melanie and she needs me. I need my kids. My kids need me. I need you. And I hope y'all need me. Dependency is a very good thing. But the main dependency we need to be is on God. We've lost that. Don't need God. I do it my way. And we know where our way works. That's why you're heavy. That's why you're burdened. That's why you're cast down. That's why there's no hope. That's why you're just in this place that you can't seem to get out of. You feel trapped. Jesus came to set you free. He came to give that heaviness a garment of praise. You know, I love the services we have where the Spirit of God moves. You feel your burden lift. Isn't that wonderful? You can feel your burden actually lift in that moment. You walk out of the sanctuary knowing that the Holy Spirit has done something in you today. We can walk in that more and more if we'll allow ourselves to. We can walk in that more and more. Don't let heaviness keep pulling you down. Let the garment of praise be restored. You know how you do that? You start talking the right talk. You start praising God. No matter what you're going through, God knows you're going through a storm. Don't ask God why I got this storm. Praise Him in the storm. God, I'm going to praise you what I'm going through. I'm going to give you honor because you're still God. You've not stopped being God because I'm going through a storm. You're still God. And I'm going to praise you through it. I'm going to give you honor through it because you're with me in the storm. That's the good news. You're holding my hand. The wind can't destroy me. The lightning can't touch me. The thunder won't scare me because you are holding my hand through this storm. Though I can't see the outcome, I know you're beside me. Though I don't know how it's going to turn out, I know it's going to be okay because you're with me. Praise Him in your heaviness. Begin to give Him thanks again and let your voice be heard of giving Him psalms of praise and hymns of praise and letting Him know, God, I trust you. Through it all, God, I trust you. Blessed assurance, God. Sing those songs that remind us of who we are in the Lord. And don't give up hope. Let that heaviness be lifted off. That's what He came to do. Now turn to Luke. I'm going to get one more scripture before we close the service. Luke chapter 4. This is the fulfillment of what we read in Isaiah 61. This is the fulfillment. Some 600-700 years later, Jesus talks about how He fulfilled this. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, talking about Jesus, to where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was telling them, "I am the Messiah." It was his proclamation declaring who he was. "I'm the one Isaiah was talking about. I'm the one you read about all these years. I'm the one in chapter 61. I'm the one." Jesus came to do this very thing in our lives. Turn to him today. Trust him with that today. And believe that he's able to do all he said he was able to do. We have escaped the penalty of death because of Jesus. And I want you to hear this. We've escaped the penalty of death because of Jesus. Sure, our body may go away, but our consciousness will never be aware of death as a Christian. We've escaped that. We are eternal beings. We are everlasting as Christians. We have passed from death into life, Paul said. So I'm an ever-living creature. Number one thing mankind fears, I don't care what they say, they can say all they want, but I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, nobody wants to die. Not until they get to the point they're ready. I'm talking about in the natural, you fight it until God gives you the release to let go. You fight it. You know, I bet, you know, when Dave was in the Marines and he's over there and he's got that mentality, "I'll die for my country." But I bet you heard the click of that EID all of a sudden, or E, whatever you call it. I get that wrong. EDI. Is that right? IED. I knew some kind of vowels. IED. I bet when he heard that click, all of a sudden, he forgot about how brave he wanted to die for his country. Ruh-roh. There's an instinct in us to live. And if we know that death's already been handled for us, that death no longer stands in our way, that death will never come and take our hand. I'm talking about death. I'm not talking about going to the funeral home. I'm talking about death. When we know we'll never taste death, that's what Jesus says. Says, "Follow me and you'll never taste death." Death has been handled for me because of Jesus. Torment and judgment has been handled already because of Jesus. I don't have to worry about going and standing before God later and seeing if I made it or not. That's still judgment. I have passed from that judgment because I have placed all my faith in Jesus. And by me doing that, he bore my judgment. He bore my penalty. He bore my sin and all my shame. He bore that so I could walk and know that I'm righteous and right in God's eyes, not by what I do or even how I live, but by the faith I placed in him. See, we're saved by faith alone, church. We're saved by faith. We're not saved by our good deeds. We're not saved by how we live. I know a lot of people talk about works and live like the devil. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I'm not going to say names. Doc knows who this is. Doc will know this person. I was talking to a person, and he said, "How do you feel about the Holy Ghost?" So, what do you mean by the Holy Ghost? He says, "Well, do you believe do you believe you're really saved once? Do you believe in salvation by evidence of tongues?" I said, "No." I said, "I believe in evidence of tongues, yes. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, yes. I believe in speaking in tongues, yes. But are you asking me, do I believe a person is not saved unless they do that?" No, I don't. He kind of stepped back, and I said, brother, the Bible says we're saved by faith in Christ. Faith. And he said, well, how about folks that don't believe? Do you think people that have that or speak in tongues, do you think they are more empowered to live right than people that don't? And here's what I said. I mean, it rose up in me. I said, brother, I tell you this. I've seen good old Southern Baptist folks that think that's not scripture that live right on for God. And I've seen shouting Pentecostals live like the devil on Saturday night. Oh, I have too. So am I asking you, do I believe the Holy Spirit empowers us? Yes, I do. But it doesn't make me more holy. It doesn't make me any more holier than my brother doesn't do that. None. Because holiness is Christ in you. And you know what? When you see the fruit of someone's changed life, you know they're real. And you know they've got it. So we've got to be very careful about judging our walk with God on how we walk. Because I don't know about y'all, my walk ain't always, I'm staggering sometimes. You know, I'm like a drunk man from time to time. You know, I'm not always got it quite together. And thank God Jesus took it for me. So my whole point of telling that story was this. Faith in Jesus. Placing our faith in Him is what brings salvation. And then once we're saved, then we seek God and we walk with God. And yes, we want more from God. God, I want more. I'm saved. I'll give you my heart. I'm ready for a deeper walk. I'm ready for a more intimate walk. God, I'm ready for something fresh, something more, something deep. Yes. But Jesus came with this good news to let you know, how can I forgive you? Forgive you. He's not keeping, you know, we've heard songs like this. We've heard preaching like this. Church, He's not keeping tabs. Every mistake you make in some big long scroll. That when you appear before me, you're going to roll it out. Here's all you did wrong. It doesn't work. Not if we believe what Scripture says. That's nowhere in the Scripture it says that. We have passed from judgment. Now, I understand there's verses that talk about the deeds of our flesh, and all that. Read the Scripture. Read what it really says. I can take confidence that I am born again now. And that I will see the face of God. I will suffer storms on this earth. I will reap seeds that I've sown. But I know that I know that I know I am saved. Now I know death won't have me. And hell won't hold me. Because I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's the good news. I want you to pull a song up for me, if you can.